You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello, welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. And today I am speaking with Barb Garrison. She's career and money breakthrough coach and job you love expert at Internal Groove, the company that she founded 14 years ago. And I'm very happy to connect with Barb and speak about how to be more satisfied with your job today. Hi, Barb.
Hi, thanks for having me, Elena. It's great to be here.
It's great to speak to you, especially I love that you're an expert in leadership. We'll have so much to talk about. I love that you're based in Boulder. This is the city that I visited a couple of years ago, and I love it. So, Barb, you're an expert in the job you love expert. And I know that many people, they are burned out, they're not satisfied with their job, even if they are leaders, team leaders. Sometimes they feel that maybe they're not doing what they are supposed to do. So when you work with such people, what do you think is the main reason for that, and how can we deal with this?
You know, this might surprise you. Most people think their dissatisfaction and their problems are things outside of themselves. You know, it's their boss, it's they're not making enough money, they don't have the title they want, they don't like their coworkers, you know, whatever it may be. What I find is that may only be about 20% of it. And this, I share that number anecdotally across all the people I've worked with over the last 15 years of doing this work. And what I find is about 80% of what makes people dissatisfied, unhappy, frustrated is actually what I call the how. So the how meaning, how do we bring ourselves to what we do? How do we show up? How do we interact? How do we communicate? How do we think? How do we behave? How do we use our habits and our work habits and sometimes our patterns, mental and emotional patterns, that sometimes get in our way? And so it's easy to blame people outside of us. And well, yes, maybe your boss isn't the nicest person, or maybe you are the boss and you're burnt out and not as happy, and so it makes you a little crabby during the day. But the truth is, we all have the ability inside of us to shift our level of satisfaction. Now, some people do ultimately need to find a different job, a different company, a different role, but I find that that's a smaller number of people than you might expect. Instead, what you do is you start working on yourself first. And that's what I do with most of my clients. It's where we begin. And I call it upgrading your software. You know, just like all software gets upgraded, you know, we learn our work habits and then we keep them for many, many years, and we don't learn to adjust or to shift or to push ourselves into different areas that maybe we are searching for.
Yeah, that's interesting what you're saying about not being satisfied with your boss or something that you're looking. People are looking outside. Just recently, 2 days ago, I was speaking to a manager, actually senior manager in one of the top consulting companies. And we were speaking about the fact that she doesn't like her boss. And it was like, you have a dream job. Everything is perfect. And a lot of people, they are maybe jealous of this, and they're dreaming of this job. And she was saying that, no, I don't like my boss because of this, because of that, this situation and that situation. And she was kind of focusing on the things that are going wrong instead of focusing on the things that are going right.
Yes.
And I think that this can be a problem, right?
For sure. And I see that a lot. And the truth is, even if it is their boss, or a coworker or someone that works on their team, I think we are all 50% responsible for every relationship. And that means the way we communicate, the way we make requests, the way we say things, the way we articulate our needs, the way we negotiate. Because I do feel like working with other people, I don't mean a negotiation like a financial negotiation, although it could be, but I'm talking about just how we share projects and how we delegate. And I think there's a process in which we all have the opportunity to really look at the part we play in that. Sometimes other people are difficult to work with because of the way we interact with them, or the way we make requests of them, or the way we ignore them, or the way we don't listen. You know, there could be all kinds of reasons. And so I really see this as it's funny, I call it like a tango. Like, it takes two people to tango, and you have to, there is a leader, but the follower has to be an active follower. You know, if you ever see a beautiful tango being done, sometimes the follower does, you know, more of the brings more of the structure to what the leader is doing. And so it really takes two. If one person sits down, there is no beautiful dance, no beautiful interaction. And so while that's just a metaphor, you know, I think it's an important thing to think about in terms of leadership. I also really think that it doesn't matter what level in the organization that you are. I don't care if you're fresh out of university and you're in your first 6 months. We all have the opportunity to be leaders in the areas that we focus on. Yes, we may not have that title, but we all can lead something. We can lead a project. We can lead inspiring others. We can lead the way we show up to things. And so I think it's everybody's responsibility to think about leadership, not just the one who has the title.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And also you mentioned the work habits that we can incorporate to be more satisfied, even if we have some issues with relationships or with anything else at work. So what are those work habits that we can recommend to our listeners?
Well, I'm going to answer that question in the opposite way. What I want to share is what I see are some of the biggest pitfalls that people have around work habits. Because I think a lot of people know what good work habits are. It's the ones that they also do that they're not paying attention to that often are not seen as work habits. So for example, comparison. This is the one I see the most often that is the most toxic, where we compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to what they do, what they don't do, what they said, what they didn't say, how they measure up. And, you know, this is really a function of our self-worth. And it doesn't mean have a big ego and walk around, you know, the company saying, aren't I great? But it is about paying attention to your own journey, where you can contribute as a leader, and honestly, not worrying too much about what other people are doing. Unless you're interacting with them on a project, then you're focused on the project, but you're not focused on comparing yourself to them. I see so many people do this, and it gets them really upset. They get stomach aches, they feel unhappy, then they start gossiping or complaining about that a lot. And pretty soon, they're just in this negative spiral that really is about something that they can just put blinders on. You know, I think of it like a horse race, you know, how in the horses race, they have those blinders. It's like, just run your own race, follow your own journey, and don't worry about anybody else's journey. Focus on you. You've got plenty to think about before you start worrying about what other people do or don't do.
Yeah, so don't compare yourself to others. And just focus on your own development. Yeah, I love this when they say that the only person you need to compare yourself to is to yourself yesterday.
Yes, yes, it's true. It's true. And so that's one I see very frequently. There's a lot of others. I'll just share one or two of them, if that's okay. More, you know, one is I see people doing a lot of worrying. And they're worrying in advance of anything happening. So nothing's happening in the moment. They're safe in that moment. And what they're doing is they're living at their head inside the future. And unless people have crystal balls in their pocket that they haven't shared with us, nobody can predict the future. But what you end up doing when you worry about things that haven't happened yet, you tend to start creating that because you've rehearsed it so much in your mind. And I think of this as creativity overused. Creativity is definitely a strength, but sometimes it can be overused when in our head, you know, we have like creative writing skills and now we're writing the novel of the worst possible thing that can happen inside of our head. And it hasn't even happened yet, you know? So staying in the present and focusing on what's right in front of you, what's happening today or tomorrow, but not getting way too far out there. I feel like that's one of the things the pandemic has really taught all of us, is that it's very difficult to plan too far in advance because there's so many unexpected twists and turns that can happen. And, you know, if you didn't get that lesson from the pandemic, then I would say that's a good one to, it's not too late. You can still capture that. I also see people, the flip side of that is focusing too much on the past, focusing on what should have happened, what could have happened, what someone did say or what didn't say, and this isn't fair, and why isn't that? Well, it's already the past. We can't turn back the clock. Nobody can turn back the clock. So if you can leave that in the past and let go of any resentment you have about that past, and if you need to talk to a trusted partner, a friend, a spouse, a coach, a therapist, any of those is fine. I'm not saying don't have the feelings. What I'm saying is don't bring those into the present, because now you're cranky about the past and what's happening today. And that can then end up being part of your future. So really to focus on how to bring the best version of yourself to today, and just do your best. It's not about trying to be perfect. That's another thing I see a lot, is people really striving to be perfect, and nobody's asking for perfection. Be the best version of you today. Sometimes today you're tired, you didn't sleep well, your kids are sick, whatever it may be, you can still do the best version that you can today. And then maybe tomorrow you'll sleep a little better, your kids won't be ill, all of that. So your best version of whatever that looks like today is going to be the best possible outcome for you, rather than getting fixated on the past or the future.
Yes, absolutely. And Dale Carnegie wrote in his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, about that you need to, even if the worst things are about to happen, then if you focus on here and now, and don't worry about the future, about the past, then for sure you will feel better. And you know, I think that this that we mentioned, this worrying about the past, very often it is connected with not liking someone. For example, that what we discussed in the beginning, that oh, you have problems with your boss, very often it is connected with a situation that happened maybe months ago or a year ago
or more.
Yes, and we still keep thinking, oh, it was awful, but in fact for the last year nothing happened, and we still keep thinking that this is an awful person, or maybe, you know, someone had a bad day or something. So it is really important to not focus on the future and the past, and just focus on today, and yeah, be the best version of who you can be today. Absolutely, totally agree with this.
Well, and I also think it wastes a lot of energy. You know, so many people are exhausted and burnt out. And one of the reasons we're exhausted at times is of all of the things we're spending energy on inside of our head. If we could just leave some of that to the side, we would free up energy for some of the good stuff, the creativity, the projects that are really fun, the opportunities to grow, the ability to ask questions and learn something new. You know, we would free up energy to do that. And I think, you know, people think they just don't have any more energy. I would recommend that people ask, okay, well, where are they wasting their energy? A lot of people will come up with things they physically do to waste their energy, but what they forget to do is look at where they waste their energy emotionally and where they waste their energy mentally. I find for most executives, leaders, people in positions of authority or entrepreneurs, that we waste the majority of our energy inside our own head. you know, inside our own heart. And it takes a lot of energy to keep up with some of these habits that are really pitfalls to our career in many ways.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so what can we do to avoid this?
Well, I think that the central component of so much of this is to focus on your truth. What is your truth? So for the boss that you struggle to communicate with, have an honest, open conversation about that. Now, obviously, you can't be a jerk. You have to set up a meeting. You don't want to be rude and disrespectful, and you want to stay professional. But to be able to, instead of just ignoring it and complaining about it to your boyfriend or girlfriend and your coworkers, sit down and have a real conversation about where the communication is going off track. You know, I find also people, they get bored with their jobs. And so one of the ways they keep themselves busy is in getting involved in things that aren't important. Well, if you're bored and that's something you're noticing, then that's an opportunity to learn or to grow or to be more creative. And so think about what would be something you'd like to take on at work that you've always had an idea about, but you think somebody else is doing it in a way that isn't serving the company. Or maybe there's a new person you want to focus on training. Ask your supervisor or ask one of your coworkers, you know, how can you help? And where can you contribute? I think that's really the key. Instead of complaining, look for where you can contribute, because most people really do love to contribute. This is a human need that we have to make a difference. And if we can make a difference for somebody else, that can be a really satisfying day. So I feel like contributing and growth and learning are two of the best ways to solve, you know, boredom. You know, if you've been doing this job for a long time and it feels like you're not growing, you actually have the opportunity to take that into your own hands and talk to someone about it. Don't just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, the feeling of contribution, I think, is one of the key elements of being happy and satisfied with your job. When you feel that you are contributing, you are helping, you are important. And also your leader and boss, usually it depends on the leadership skills of your boss. If you feel that you are an important person, then I think this is very important. Very often I see people who are not people who don't have very good relationships with their boss. They are not satisfied with their job, or those who don't feel that they are contributing, that their job matters. Again, they're not satisfied. So what would you suggest to people who hate their job and they don't have the opportunity to move to the next level, to contribute more? So what can they do to instead of this, or to do is staying at the place where they are?
Yes. So first, I think the first step is working on yourself and your attitude. Because if you hate your job, you go out there to try to find another job, you won't do well in the process, because you'll be bitter and you'll be angry and you'll be resentful. And if someone's interviewing you, they can smell that on you. Even if you're not saying things that make you sound resentful, people have that sense of your energy and how you bring yourself to an interview. So the first thing is you need to work on satisfying yourself in new ways. You can either do that at your current position, or you can do it outside of work and figure out, like, if you could add one thing to your life, or you could do something that would really make you happy, one small thing, start adding it into your life on a weekly basis so that you start to feel more satisfied. I do think most people assume that the things they want out of the current job they have are impossible. I've heard this so many times, you know, oh, I won't be able to do that. Oh, they'll never let me do that. Oh, that's not how it works at my company. You don't understand. Well, my response to that is, well, have you asked? Have you asked? And that's what I mean by you have to lead with your truth. Because if you're willing to leave the job and quit, you have nothing to risk by asking for something that you can do differently or take on differently or shift. I've worked with people that change departments but still stay in the same company, change roles, go from a full-time position to a job sharing position, to shift some of their responsibilities, to get a new team member. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that can happen there. And I want to add also to this, Elena, that we're talking a lot about people who have bosses. I mean, everybody pretty much does, even the highest leader in your company. For entrepreneurs and for those who are high-level leaders, always ask your team, like, if you could do anything or add to what your day-to-day responsibilities are that would really make you happy, what would that look like? Because as a leader, it's important to keep the dialogue open, not just to be delegating, 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 but once in a while, have a conversation about what, you know, if you could take on anything or you could add something, what would you like to do? And don't be afraid to answer that question if you're the one who's being asked of that. You know, I think that some people do need to leave. There's no question. There are toxic companies. There's jobs that don't fit for people. And sometimes people need to leave. But I really believe doing the inner work first before you leave so that you don't leave in sort of an emotional tantrum, because that's never a good place to leave from. And get yourself more centered, because that's also going to help you find the new job when you are ready to do that.
Yeah, I think that it is very similar to relationship advice, you know, before going yes. into a new relationship, just work on yourself. Because very often we can see this pattern that same with relationships and the same with the new jobs, that very often we start a new job and then the same things keep coming back, and we say, no, not again. Why does it always happen to me? And then in the end, we need to do this inner work to change something, right?
Yes. There's no substitute for self-discovery and to really get to know yourself. And in fact, it's funny that you say that, because I have lots of clients that I work with on their career, but pretty soon what we start discovering is some of the things that they're frustrated with in other parts of their lives are very similar to some of the things they're frustrated with in their work. So sometimes you have to look at the big picture and really see. And it's not just that it's your fault. It's really like, what do you need? What do you want? How do you want things to be different? And to see where you can make those adjustments and not just assume it's impossible. Because how you do one thing is typically how you do most things. And that's not an accident.
Yes, yes. And what about people who are working, who have bosses and who work in companies and corporations, and they want to start their business? We have among our listeners, we have such people who are considering starting their business and starting small. And do you think it is for everyone? And how to know if being an entrepreneur is right for you?
Great question. That's a big topic by itself. I do whole seminars on this. I don't think it's for everyone. And what I will say is, if your goal is to just get away from your boss, that's not a good reason to start a business, because what'll happen is you'll just become the worst boss you ever had. You'll be modeling, you know, what you received. I find that there's a lot of different qualities of people who are truly meant to be entrepreneurs. And I think it's really important to dig down and see if that fits for you. I call it taking an x-ray for the entrepreneurial bone. And I say it that way because I feel like it's a bone, meaning you either have it or you don't have it. It's neither good or bad. It's just about getting clear if that's the kind of person you are. Entrepreneurs really, really thrive from creating something out of nothing, like literally inventing a path that doesn't exist. And there are people who that sounds terrifying to. So if that's terrifying, that's probably because it's not the only quality, but it's probably not that being an entrepreneur is a fit for you. I don't want to make unilateral, you know, judgments like that based on one quality, but I do see that entrepreneurs, they really trust themselves and they're willing to take steps and to try things because they don't know if it's going to work. But to them, that's the fun part. Where to someone who that's terrifying, that's not fun to them at all. And then they can be pretty miserable. The other thing too is to recognize that creativity is a very, very big part of entrepreneurship. So I don't mean artistic abilities. You know, it's not about, you know, sculpting or painting or dancing, although unless you have a business around one of those. But I think entrepreneurship is one of the most creative things you can do. because you're literally inventing it and creating it as you go. So if you're someone who has a very creative mind and likes to do a lot of problem solving, and literally you're the kind of person that says every problem has a solution, there's always an answer, that's something that's more of a quality of an entrepreneur. Just to give you a few examples.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We need to first understand if it is for us and to make this analysis and then to go for it, because I can see some people who are starting their businesses, especially now during the pandemic, a lot of people started their businesses, their online businesses, and then after some time they realized that, oh, maybe this is not exactly what I wanted to do. And I think that it is good to know yourself and to make this analysis before. And what about people who are not doing what they love? You know, there is this famous chart that we need to find the sweet spot among the things that we love and that we can do very well and that we can contribute. Very often the thing that we do actually is somewhere far away from this middle, and we want to go to find this sweet spot and to go as close as possible, but very often we are not there. So what would you recommend for those people, how to go closer to this passion, to this job they love?
Well, first, I think it takes an in-depth journey of self-discovery to get really clear about what is it that you love, because some people assume the love part, the passion part, is what you do. You know, maybe you're a painter, or maybe you are a writer, or maybe you are someone that's really good with numbers. Those are the things that you do. But what about all the rest of the business? Because there's a great book for entrepreneurs or someone thinking about being an entrepreneur called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. I definitely recommend it, because the concept of it is really that it takes three types of people to have a successful business. The technician, which is the one that actually does the work of whatever it is, whatever the actual content of the business is. Then there's the manager, who has to manage all of the details, all of the quality control, the planning, the budgets, the execution of it all. And then there's the entrepreneur. And the entrepreneur is the one that is the visionary, the one that has the ideas, that sees it through, that carries that vision through. That typically is the part that also does the sales and the marketing and the evolution and the innovation that goes with it. So you can either have three people that start a company together, or if you're going to start a company by yourself, you need to either hire the parts that are not you, or you need to be someone who's really good at all three of those things. I find that that is really a key to success with that. And a lot of people think only of the technician, like the actual what that they're doing, and they don't think about the other parts. So say, for example, you have a company and you don't like the numbers, the financial part of it. Well, you can't have a successful business without being good at forecasting and budgeting and looking at the numbers. So that's an important thing to look at before you just dive into it. How are you going to solve that missing piece? There's certainly ways to do it. You know, you could get a business partner who's good with that aspect. You could hire a team. You can outsource it. You know, you can hire a consultant. There's a number of ways to do it, but you can't just ignore it. Because that will have you eventually feeling like you're not in your sweet spot, because you're going to feel like you're doing all the things about the business that you don't like, and you don't have time to get to the thing that you love. And so it does require some planning. The mistakes that I see the most often with entrepreneurs leaving corporate positions, and by the way, I've done that twice. So I have some experience with that. I have a lot of clients who do that sort of thing, is they don't do enough planning in advance. They don't plan for, you know, financially to start something. They don't plan for thinking through it. They don't do enough thinking about what their customers' needs are, or who their customers will be, or how they will even reach them. So, you know, I work with people in corporations who work there, and I help them start things on the side. So they do that on the weekends and in the evenings or on their vacation days, until they build the business up enough so that they're not just like leaping into the void of nothing and saying, okay, today's the first day of my new business, now what? You know, you spend time developing it, which takes a lot of discipline when you're excited to do it, but you'll always do a better job if you've done some of that thinking in advance and planning in advance.
Yes, yes, it is so important. I also can see many people who say that start business, and in fact, they're doing many other things that are not connected with their business. But they have to do the things connected with some technical things and finance and things that they are not good at, but they have to do those, and it takes so much time. So indeed we need to analyze what are our strengths, and then yes, to plan yes, ahead.
Yes. And some of these things seem really obvious, I know, but you would be amazed at how many people don't do these things. And that's how they end up away from their sweet spot and their passions that they love, to answer your question. So sometimes people think, oh, yeah, I already know that. But are you really doing it? That's the question.
Yes, absolutely. Great, Barb. Thank you so much for all your tips. It is so interesting. Now, I think that we know how to find our passion, how to love our job more, what things to avoid in order to make our career go forward. So if our listeners want to contact you and to get to know more, where can they find you?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Well, I actually have a gift for your audience. If they go to Monday Morning Leap, LEAP.com, there's a free gift there for everyone who is listening. And what this is a weekly email that comes to your box every week. It's not a long newsletter. It's something that takes 1 to 2 minutes to go through. And it's a video or an audio with a tip that you can implement for the week that will make a big difference in your work week. And I give tips on both corporate situations as well as for entrepreneurs. I divide that up. And so for anyone who would like to subscribe to that, I'd love to have you. And you're going to be offered a couple of other extra things as well to explore some of these topics that we only had time to just scratch the surface of today.
Perfect. Monday Morning Leap, right?
Leap, yes. .com to start your week off, you know, on the right foot and to feel good. And what I have a lot of people tell me is that they implement that one tip and they really focus on it all week long. And they do that every week. And a lot of people have made a lot of strides forward just by following the weekly Monday Morning Leap tip.
Perfect, perfect. So I really recommend our listeners to go to mondaymorningleap.com. And to get those tips to be happier, more satisfied with your job. Thank you so much, Barb. Thank you for being on Ideas and Leaders.
Thank you.
You are listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career.